Well, welcome back, Memphis. It's Sunday afternoon again, and we're so glad you're here with Awaken Me Too, where you're going to hear about a real God doing things with real people, making a real difference in their lives. As I said last week, this is Henry Hutton and David Ford coming back to you. If you missed our first show, all you have to do is go to our website, JesusHelps.me. It's an all-volunteer website put together by followers of Jesus, seeking to promote the kingdom of God and trying to promote the welfare of our city and our nation. You can't give to Jesus Helps Me. It's all about promoting the kingdom of God. I'm very excited this week because last week we got to really start a very, very interesting conversation with David Ford with Globe to Christ from Phoenix, Arizona. God put a special call on this man's life, and one of the things he's been doing for the last 40 years is he's been going around as an itinerant evangelist, helping by serving the churches and serving the church of God by teaching them what it's like to have not only a cultivated presence of God, not only an omnipresent God, but the manifest presence of a relationship with the living God, the Holy Spirit. And in the next 30 minutes, we're going to get into really what does that mean? And we're going to get into what does it mean to have this deep, fulfilling, living, flowing waters coming out of your life. I know I just can't wait. So welcome back, Dave.
Great to be back. Always good to be back.
Dave, it's really interesting what you've been talking about, how God came into your life when you were 7 years old and how God began developing in you this heart where at age 17, he calls you to preach, but not necessarily in a traditional way, because at the same time, he seems to be putting this idea of revival and the presence of God on your heart. And I really, really want to spend some time and get into some of the things, some of the really deep things that God has been doing in your life the last 40 years and also is doing in your life the last few months. So how do I get this manifest presence of a living God feeling in my life?
The old saints talked about the omnipresence of God, which we know about, that God is everywhere present. But that's kind of hard to get your fingers on sometimes. Then they talked about the cultivated presence of God. That's from time in the Word, time in prayer, your own personal prayer time. You cultivate that sense of God's presence. But then thirdly, they talked about the manifest presence of God, where God seems like a hovercraft. It's a sit down upon a people or on a person or upon a whole area. That's what real revival really is, the saturation of God.
You know, we don't have... The new saints don't talk much about the manifest presence of God.
They really don't. And it grieves me because I see what they're missing. And I don't condemn, I don't look down on anybody.
Sure.
But like what we saw here this morning in this room. Phew. I mean, God just sat down in this room.
Yeah, it was very powerful.
Very powerful.
Very, very powerful.
It's life-changing.
You could.
Tangible.
You could feel.
Totally.
As we sang that song, as the river runs by me, I find life,
yeah.
I find peace, I find joy. And it's like the living water Jesus talked about.
John 7, exactly.
For those of that are listening to our voice, and they're really, really hungry and thirsty, and they're really looking for the presence of the living God, is there anything you'd want to say to them? Because this is something I've known you. This is not the first time I've met you. I've known you, and I've heard story after story, and it's not just one church. It's not just one city. Mm-hmm. It's the living God is active and alive, and his eyes are searching to and fro across the whole earth, looking for hearts that would be what? Whole towards him.
Yes, sir.
So what would you say to them if they're looking for this manifest presence of God? What would you tell them to do?
Well, to the person who doesn't know Jesus as the Lord and Savior, it starts there. It reminds me of years ago in a pro baseball game. Goose Gosselin hit the ball, ran by first base, blitzed by second base, third base, comes flying in for in the park home run. He slides in and he gets there before the ball, right before the ball does. The umpire calls him out. Of course, the crowd goes crazy. This was a huge game. I think it was a playoff game or something. And the umpire said, he said, the runner is out because he failed to touch first base. They questioned Goose after the game. He said, no, he's right. He said, I just didn't think anybody saw it. I did not touch first base. And so the main thing in this walk with Almighty God is salvation is first base. You've got to know Jesus as your Lord and Savior. See, that Jesus rose again from the dead that he may cancel my past. Everyone I know wants their past canceled. To correct my present and secure my future in heaven with him. But he came not only to get me off of earth into heaven, he came to get the Holy Spirit out of heaven as it were and into me. So when you receive Jesus as your Lord and Savior, God, I'm tired of my sin, I'm through with it.
That's called repentance.
Repentance. Jesus, you did rise again from the dead. You're the Son of God. I receive you by faith. The Bible says, as many as received him, to them he gave power to become a child of God. And we just come just as we are. I mean, God so loved the world, all of us, that he gave his one and only son, that whoever, people say, well, I've committed adultery, or I'm having affairs right now, or I cuss like a sailor, and I don't even realize I cuss so much, I don't even realize I'm cussing. I just do it. And all of a sudden, one day, the Holy Spirit brings that legal conviction of sin. We've broken God's laws, God's commandments, and we stand defiled and dirty before a holy God, and we're going to face him on Judgment Day. How are we going to face him? Well, the good news is that he's offered us forgiveness and reconciliation because we're separate from God. But he's given that to us through Jesus, through the cross of Calvary. That's why Jesus came. And so it's very simple. Whoever should call upon the name of the Lord should be saved. Didn't make it rocket science. You mentioned this morning, what did Jesus do? Follow me, I'll make you fishers of men. Follow me. I mean, he looked down at Matthew, who was a tax collector, and simply said, follow me. Two words. He got up, left everything, and followed Jesus. And right now, I believe the Spirit of God is speaking to a heart. And Jesus is saying, you sense it, listening. The Holy Spirit is saying, follow Jesus. This is the right way. And be bold in prayer. If you're still doubting, I would just say, God, if you're real, show me. If you're really the real way, show me. He can handle those questions. He's sure. God.
Sure, he's God. He's not afraid of our doubts.
He's not afraid of our doubts.
You know, it says in Romans, if we will confess with our mouth and believe in our heart that God has raised him from the dead, thou wilt be saved. For with the mouth confession is made unto salvation, mm-hmm. and with the heart a man believeth unto righteousness.
Yeah.
And so I think it is so important for someone who has made a commitment to the Lord and wants to follow him that he needs to tell somebody.
Yeah.
You know, it's not...
Yeah.
At some point in your life, Jesus has got to be more important than yourself, and you need to tell somebody. You need to tell your significant other, or your mom, or your dad, or your children.
Absolutely, that's the result of your heart being changed.
Sure,
this wonderful thing has happened to you. It's like I want to tell. I got to tell people about this. It's so life changing because you said old things have passed away, all things become new. Jesus said you've passed from death unto life. There's a lot of people right now listening. They would say, I want to know God, but I don't know how to find him. Jackie Gleason was that way years ago. I used to pray as a kid. I used to pray for Jackie Gleason's salvation. I didn't know he was searching for God, but he made a comment to a good friend of his. He said, I am searching for God, but I don't know how to find him. Well, the way we find God is through Jesus. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father but by me. And I love the fact that Jesus loves us as we are, not as we ought to be.
Sure.
He doesn't say, clean yourself up first and come to me. He said, you come with your rags and your junk and all your trash and what's in your trunk. You just come. I'll take care of the changing. But it's not like I'm trying to copy to be good enough for God to accept me. Grace is that God comes to me as a wicked sinner that I am, and he forgives me. He gives me his Spirit. He cleans me on the inside. Everything old passes away, and everything becomes brand new. God gives me a brand new slate, just as if I'd never sinned, a brand new slate to live. And so that's the draw of the cross of Calvary. Because really, in the final analysis, hell is too long to get it wrong.
Yeah. I'm going to steal that one. Hell's too long to get it wrong. I'm going to remember that one. So for those out there that, you know, they really have, to the best of their knowledge, you know, I've made this commitment to Christ. I've confessed him. I'm I'm trying to serve in my church, but this manifest presence of God, so often it seems like in many of our modern churches, we begin to worship the Word.
Yeah, yeah.
Not the Word.
Yeah.
The Word.
Not the living Word.
Meaning the pages on the book.
Yeah.
In that we believe that maturity in Christ is knowing more.
Yeah.
Whereas as I've grown in Christ, I'm beginning to realize maturity in Christ is doing and being.
Yeah.
It's not more information.
Yeah.
So what does a person that's kind of stuck in this routine of, I go to church on Sunday, but that's pretty much all I'm doing. Mm-hmm. What would you say if they want to look for the manifest presence of God, where would you tell them to start?
I would tell them to understand one thing right off the bat, that God does not have favorites, but he does have intimates.
Could you say that again?
God does not have favorites, but he does have intimates.
Could you explain that to us just a little bit?
Those who have a heart to just simply seek him and know him. Paul said that I may know him and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his sufferings. In Daniel, it says that people that do know their God shall be strong and take action. When you have a God confidence, it's because of his presence in you to take action. And so you have the heart to seek after him. Now, I would tell somebody two things to do. Best you know that your heart is clean. There's no sin in your life. You just confess and everything. There's two things that I think are crucial in knowing the manifest presence of God. I've done this in church before. I'll have them just bow their heads for a moment. I say, now let's just deal with any known sin that you may know in your life right now. Right now, say, God, search me. Is there anything in my life right now that's not pleasing to you? And then just confess that to him and he'll cleanse you. But just do that right now and I'll be quiet. And then I'll say, okay, we've done that. I said, do you want to experience the presence of the Lord? They're like, yeah. I said, all right, I want you to do something. I want you to claim the blood of Jesus over your sins and over your soul right now. So just while your heads are bowed, claim the power of the blood of Jesus, because in the scripture, the priest and even the leper, they put blood on the right toe, the right thumb, the right earlobe. My direction, my occupation, my perception. On the blood, they would put oil. And here's the principle: where the blood of Jesus cleanses, the Spirit of God anoints. And he said in Exodus, when I see the blood, I will pass over you. I will hover over you. The same words used for a chicken hovering over her little chicks in Isaiah. So the secret of knowing the presence of God is the blood of Jesus. So it's the blood of Jesus. And what I'll tell them is that, so claim right now the blood of Jesus. Because he said, when I see the blood, I'll hover over you. You'll know my presence. And then number two, while you're there, I want you to pray something like this. Oh God, right now, I bend the neck of my soul before your throne. I can feel this presence just saying that. And just say, God, I humble myself before you right now. No arguments from me, Lord. I bend the neck of my soul before you. And I've done that in church, and when people do that, I'll see them begin weeping all over a church auditorium. Because God is real, and his presence is real.
Amen.
So it's not rocket science. It's the blood of Jesus and humility, humbling ourselves before him.
Amen.
And then walking in that. Walking in that, not just experiencing it once 37 years ago.
So in your experience, when you've gone into some of these towns and cities, and that's exactly what you're doing now all over America and in different parts of the world, you see this manifest presence of God show up. Mm-hmm. What's the result in the lives of the people, in the lives of the church? What usually happens? I mean, tell us kind of like first-hand view for those of us that may have never seen this happen in a church.
Right.
What does it look like?
It looks like 2 Chronicles 7:14. We often quote that verse or read that verse as the prescription for revival. If my people who are called by my name shall humble themselves and pray, seek my face, and turn from their wicked ways. But I believe it's not only the prescription for revival, it's the description of revival. What happens when God moves in his manifest presence in an audience? They humble themselves. They pray. They seek his face. They turn from their wicked ways. And I'll watch it. I'll watch it happen in churches. In fact, often when I'm leading worship in churches, they start coming to the altars, and I haven't even preached yet. They just start coming. And so I think it's crucial to what I seek to do. I call it the burning bush principle of revival. Mm-hmm. When I see the Spirit of God moving in a church service somewhere, I turn my attention to it. Maybe it's a lady over here on the right-hand side, and she just breaks down in the presence of God, and she's just weeping her eyes out. I'll see that. I'll notice that. I'll turn in my heart toward it, and the Holy Spirit will lay on my heart what to do next. And in that situation, it may be something like he'll lay on my heart to have some of the ladies go and just gather around that dear lady and pray over her. And I'll just say, could some of you ladies come over and just pray over this dear lady over here under my right? All of a sudden, it happens to a man over here on my left. So then I'll have some men come over and pray over that man over here. And before you know it, 2 or 3 hours later or whatever, this has been going on all night. People getting right with God, getting right with each other, seeking the face of God, praying for their loved ones. And so the presence of the Lord is very, very tangible. It's not just something theological. So I wish people weren't afraid of the working of the Holy Spirit. They want to say sometimes, well, what if it gets out of control? Well, if it's in his control, what do you got to worry about?
Dave, if people want to get in touch with you, how do they get in touch with you? If a pastor or an individual wants to get in touch with you to find out more about your ministry, what would you tell us to do?
Well, globeforchrist.com, GlobeForChrist.com. That's the website. If they want to email me directly, they could email me at Phoenix Ford, the city Phoenix, PhoenixFord, my last name, at MAC.com. That'll go straight to me. It won't even go through the email through the ministry name, but it'll go straight to David. PhoenixFord@MAC.com. And I'd be happy to respond back.
And you are a faith-based ministry.
Yep.
So for those that have heard your words today,
yeah,
that have been encouraged by your words and mm-hmm. would be interested in finding out more about supporting your ministry mm-hmm. and have been really encouraged, and the Lord's really putting on their heart, I think I need to support this ministry yeah. more than just with prayer. I think I need to support this ministry financially.
Yeah.
If God's putting an amount on their heart, how would they go about either giving to you or contacting you through this same website, or what would they do?
They could do it through globeforchrist.com. There's a PayPal button on globeforchrist.com. You can go onto Zelle and like on your bank website, and you could do it through Zelle to info@globeforchrist.com, info@globeforchrist.com. Many people like to do that. I'm also set up with some of the other ones nowadays that they have out there. What's it? Venmo, I think it's called. I think that's one of them.
Oh, we're going to get us confused now. For those of you out there that want to support his ministry, let's just keep it pretty simple now. There's multiple ways, but if you'll go to globeforchrist.com, there'll be all the information there on that website that you'll need.
Yeah.
One of the neat things about your ministry is, it's been going on now for 40 years.
It has. And then before 91, before I pastored, I traveled itinerantly and did ministry then. But I didn't incorporate the ministry until 91.
And the other thing that I think is really neat and kind of a third-party endorsement here, as I've known you over the years, you don't just tell the same old stories. This is not just a one- or two-time manifest presence of God. But each time as you come through Memphis, remember he lives in Phoenix, and he'll be traveling to maybe support churches in Georgia or up in Missouri. Each time you come through, number one, you always bring homemade jellies and jams, which my wife loves, by the way. Her favorite is peach, but she likes the blueberry, too.
Okay.
And
I might have a peach somewhere.
Always telling us encouraging stories about what the living God is doing, transforming the lives of people.
Yeah, yeah.
It's obviously
he's real. I was preaching at Liberty University a couple times in the past. Both times I stood up, I'd say a few words or something, I'd try to start preaching, and the presence of God would sit down in that arena, 8,500 students, and they just began coming to the arena floor, weeping, broken, no invitation given. How do you explain that? Only the Spirit of God can do that. That's not me doing that. I know it's not me. I can't do it. I wish I could, but I can't do that. No man can do that. Only God can do that. But it's been life-changing for me. And I've always felt, Henry, if people can experience the presence of God in their prayer life, I don't care where they go in the world. If they experience the sufficiency of the indwelling Christ in a tangible way, his presence will carry them wherever. He said, I will go with you, even to the end of the age. And so everywhere they go, it's the presence of God with them. Jesus is sufficient. Either he is or he isn't. Well, he said he was. And he didn't tell us to try to copy a historical Christ that lived 2,000 years ago. Christianity to the believer is his deity clothed with my humanity. That's Christianity. It's Christ in us living through us the life that he is.
You know, as I go out and follow Jesus in my everyday life, I'm running into more and more people. If you want to start talking about church, they're not so much interested. But when you start talking about a living God that offers them hope and offers them his presence, people are hungry for that.
I really know this
morning you said something that I thought was really, really, really struck my heart. I believe it was in Amos where it says at one point in history, there will be a famine in the land, not food and water, but a famine about the knowledge of God.
Yeah.
And I believe in being older, you know, I'm in my late 60s, as I see this new generation coming up, so many of them, if you look at the surveys, they don't believe in God. There is a famine in the land. They are not being shown.
Mm-hmm.
Notice I didn't say taught. They're not being shown a relationship with a living God. Mm-hmm. They're not seeing that in the older generation.
Right.
And I think that's one of my generation's failure as we try to pass this baton down. Mm-hmm. As we've run our race, we need to quit telling so much and start showing this manifest presence of God in our lives.
I totally agree. The purpose of the church is to demonstrate God to the world.
Amen.
It's not rocket science. I'm saying that more than anything else nowadays. It's not rocket science. You know, just the church is to be a demonstration of God, his hands, his feet, his eyes, his love, his nurturing, his caring. I have seen the most amazing things happen in just praying over people that don't know the Lord. But I'll go to prayer with someone that doesn't know the Lord, and the Spirit of God will just set down on us in prayer. They've never experienced this. They'll say, what is this? What is this? So this is the presence of God. Then he's very tangible. And when they receive Jesus, that God gives them the Holy Spirit.
Yeah,
you know, a lady said to me here a while back, she says, I miss your spirit. And I said, well, you can have that same spirit that I have.
Amen.
And but you have to want it. Amen. You have to long for it.
Well, thank you so much for being with us this afternoon.
Thank you. It's an honor to be here.
If you didn't get enough of Dave Ford on Awaken Me Too, you can catch him right back here next Sunday morning at America Back to God at 7 a.m. right here on the Mighty 990. Also, if you would like to listen to that sermon he preached last week at 10 a.m. on Awaken, a show that's right here on the Mighty 990, and you missed it, I highly encourage you to go to JesusHelps.me and click on Awaken Me and listen to that sermon, because it's about revival. And that is certainly something that we need in our churches, and it's certainly something that we need in our city, and we need in our nation. If you need more information about Dave Ford, then you go to globeforchrist.com. And remember, no matter what's happening in your life today, no matter what you think of the future, there's always hope because Jesus lives.
Because Jesus lives. There is hope.
This is a Valley of the Whale production.